It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
Hi, I am Kirk Maynard.
Oh, for some reason you're really quiet.
I feel quiet. I'm mousy today.
I feel like I'm whispering.
I don't know. I can barely hear myself, so.
I can hear you. It's just like, I don't know.
I can hear you really good now.
Can you? I'm yelling. I'm yelling in the microphone.
Sometimes when Jamie's sitting next to me and she's talking, my Apple Watch, the noise thing will go off and say, you are in a loud environment. You should either walk away or put a head thing.
Oh, that's so mean. It's not. It's true. Welcome to 2026. We're so excited to be in the studio.
Yeah.
What fun facts do you have for us today, Kirk?
I actually have a quiz.
Oh, Lord. Why? Why? My brain is tired.
It's under the auspice of why debt is delaying home ownership for millennials and Gen Zers.
Dun, dun, dun.
But here's my quiz.
Okay.
A couple items. What do you think the median first-time home buyer is in the U.S. now? And I bet you most of the public don't know, and I bet you most people in our industry don't know.
What do I think?
How old do you think the first-time home buyer is? What's the average is?
28.
40.
Oh, my God.
And I remember seeing a stat last year. I think I rattled off on the show. It's in like 36 or something, but it's crept up to 40. And that's maybe 36 or whatever it was. Had a couple Gen X or somebody else.
Well, that would make sense because we talked a lot about how our millennials are moving back home.
Millennials are buying homes about 7 years later than previous generations and Gen Z home ownership is. So just 26% own homes by their late 20s.
So really all these parents should be worried because your kids are coming back home to live with you.
We'll get to that in a second, but actually they're going to be renting. And you know why are the biggest reason?
Mm-mm.
Debt.
Okay.
And a lot of it. So
school debt?
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. You nailed it. What kind of debt do you think it is? Yeah. Exactly that. Student loan debt. Do you know what the average balance is for?
I'm going to say 150.
No, well, it's way lower, but it's 38,000 on average. I would have thought it would be a little bit higher than that. But for every $1,000 of student debt, the likelihood of owning a home drops by almost 2%.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a bunch more data. But long story short is the industry expects the rental market to remain strong in upcoming years because of that.
So really, you should purchase rent to millennials.
You're investing. You're talking about like investing.
Yeah, for sure.
I think part of it is, you know, and I'm a Dave Ramsey pro, but, you know, they want you to save up 20% down and a lot of, you know, millennials and Gen Zers are having trouble saving up because they have their flush with student debt.
Sure.
So they're waiting until they're 40 years old to do it. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my fun fact.
All right, so today's show, we are going to talk about, we have some steps that actually work, but we're going to be really honest about buying a house in 2026. Can you buy a house in 2026? So,
I hope so.
The biggest one is step one. You really need to figure out if you're actually ready. And I love that this person in, you know, the articles I was reading said, stop browsing Zillow. And stop looking at realtor.com. You actually have to have the conversation first. Do you have the money? Because really, I mean, when I tell you about all those leads I have, they look first. They have not gotten pre-qualified.
Yeah.
They have not seen a lender. They have no idea what they pick based on what they think they can purchase, not what they can actually purchase.
And they're just
being,
you're human beings. I mean,
yes.
they could be looking 100%. At boats or RVs and the look at homes, and it's exciting to go look at this stuff, even though you don't know if you can afford it or not. You think you can. You could do a little estimator, but there's more than just, you know, doing a little slide bar on what that's going to cost. I mean, there's,
yes.
A lot more goes into it then.
So, and it needs to really be, you know, not whether you want to buy, because that's the easy part. You know, a lot of people do want to buy. But it's really whether your financial situation can handle what's about to happen. And let's talk a little bit about what lenders look at And then most importantly, what you as an individual should look at for yourself. So lenders want to see a steady income, preferably 2 years worth at the same job or in the same field. Not that they won't. I've definitely worked with different lenders that will understand that like a job promotion or a job change is going to happen, and they're completely okay with that. They will work with that as long as they're able to see, you know, because we've had a move happen in the midst of.
Yeah. So if they stay within a like industry, then they can usually count that. I chime in on a recent one I had? A gentleman's he's in the trades, and he has 6 different employers in the last year. He's been down in Tokyo.
Yeah.
We had to do 6 different verifications of employment, and that could be tricky. And in talking to this lender, it's not a snap your fingers and you get 6 verifications of employment. And
right.
So it took us a while to get that done. So please get with your lender, and this lender, I wish they would have, and actually we gave a lot of time because we were going to wait to have something roll off and get a bit of more favorable interest rate. But when they said, no, we don't need that anymore, we're clear to close, we thought we're all going to close. And she's like, no, we need to I thought we had done the end of the year, and you guys want to close a month early. I have a lot of work to do. And so just make sure there's clear communication with the lender. We didn't know that it was going to take her a month to get 6 verifications of employment, but you can't snap your fingers and have it done. So just be mindful of that if you're somebody who has multiple employers, because you're in one of the locals, it could take quite a while. So give yourself extra time. Talk to your lender about that.
Yeah, I had the same. And luckily it was working with Cornerstone, but again, needed to give them plenty. Like my client found a house.
It's Cornerstone Mortgage, not Cornerstone Credit.
Cornerstone Mortgage found a house that he was very interested in. And we had to go a totally different route because he had he made an insane amount of money. So he was like, I'm of course going to qualify for whatever I make. I mean, he was like, I could almost buy this house outright for cash. I just have, you know, all these different investments and I have this and this and this. There's no way that I would not qualify for what I'm asking. And it wasn't that at all. It just to verify all the things we needed to verify, we had to give that lender time. But of course, we had a very tiny window of time for the house that he was interested in. So we actually had to have his mother qualify for a loan. She qualified very quickly because she had one stable job, and we could switch everything in the midst of all of this if we needed to. Everybody was aware of kind of what was going on. Everybody was okay with it. But she qualified within 24 hours. And it took almost 2 weeks for us to get his loan and all of that stuff put together. So I think sometimes it is really frustrating because people think, oh, I can do this in a day, especially when they have very lucrative jobs here in Alaska. But you're right with the trades and with different supervisors and with different, especially if they're maybe in a union or they get passed around under different, I don't know how all of that works, but it's like they work under this supervisor or this boss, and then they go over here and they do a different job and it's under a different supervisor or a different something. And when you have to verify all that stuff and do all those things, you are not getting a pre-qual letter in 24 hours. And then, of course, I swear the way it happens is you find the perfect house, and that perfect house that maybe has been sitting for 2 months and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be the house that has 120 days on the market has 2 offers on it at the same time you look at it. Because I swear there's something in the water here in Alaska that the moment you have selected the house, that is the moment when 2 or 3 other people have also selected
the house. I run into it all
the
time.
Yes, every time.
Especially ones that have been in the market for a month, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, easy money.
No one's looking at that.
We're going to get a deal. We put an offer in, 2 others come in. Happens to me all the time.
Every time. Every time.
Okay. Saunders me.
So, and then, you know, so anyway, I think, I mean, the great part is that everybody's always willing to, for the most part, work with us. You know, I think everybody's willing to come to the table. I think we have phenomenal lenders here. I think there are workarounds. Other realtors were phenomenal in working with us with deals. But I just think that you really have to be prepared that when you think things are going to be super easy and you can just get the lender or the pre-qual letter, you really can put the cart before the horse, and it sometimes you can lose out because you didn't do what we should have done, which is go talk to a lender, make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row. Yep. Or if you're switching jobs, that also can be a derailment, is that we can be looking for quite some time and you can switch jobs in the middle of that. Your lender can be aware, or we've been looking for so long that your lender stuff has lapsed.
Yep.
And they need different stuff. And then you go to find the house and they now need a bunch of documents so they can get us an updated prequal.
Right.
And you're kind of behind the times on stuff. And you're thinking, oh, that old prequal letter we have can work. But that lender still needs a bunch of different things. So I think it's really good to stay in contact with them about every 4 weeks and you know, get what you need from them. So think about it from a practical standpoint, not just the lender's perspective, but you also need to think about the mortgage payment that happens every single month for the next 15 or 30 years. So
if you do 15 year, great. But most people are doing 30 years, which I get. But we can help you do the math. We have a spreadsheet and you can go online, but we have it broken down by exactly what the principal, interest, taxes, insurance is going to be, what the down payment's going to be, and then what that payment's going to be. And taxes is important because what you see on Zillow or whatnot may or may not be accurate.
Right.
And then plus almost the bigger one is the closing cost. And so, you know, we'll go through and tell you what your closing costs and your prepaids are going to be. And sometimes that can be a sticker shock. So we want to make sure you have that ready to go first.
Right.
And everybody... I mean, it's lenders are particular about that, making sure you have enough money when you close. You can't be down to, you know, $250.
Right.
You need to have some money in the bank after you close because they want you to be able to make your payments.
Right.
So you really need to get with the lender and get with us too. We can help you out and say, hey, nope, you know, you need $15,000 to do this loan program and you might not have that right now. So maybe we need to slow our roll and save up a little bit before we go house hunting.
Yes. So next is really thinking about your debt to income ratio. One thing that really trips people up constantly is just thinking about, you know, what is going to go to, I think it's really great for people to stop and really, you know, if you're thinking about buying a house, to look at what you have as far as your credit card bills, what you make before taxes, do you have a car loan, student loans, credit cards? And one thing that people really forget here, and I say this because, again, we dipped our tank and we were down to about half a tank. And so we thought, oh my gosh, that's about like where we kind of like to feel comfortable, about half a tank of fuel. And then we like to fill back up because, again, we never want to run out. We always like to be able to make sure our house is really warm if we need it to be warm.
For sure.
And just in case, you know, we never know if we're going to have to fly out or if things are going to happen.
It hits 40, 50 below.
Yes.
And,
is fuel. And people often forget, oh my gosh, we need to fill up or we need to have the fuel tank filled. Or if you're on an autofill, and so you can burn a lot more fuel when it gets a lot colder.
So, Jamie, are you saying that great debt to income is helpful because the lenders want a, you know, 43% or less debt to income ratio, but you're saying y'all got to remember there's other stuff out there too, not just...
Yes.
And maybe that's part of what their reasoning is. They want 43% or less debt to income ratio or DTI.
Yes.
Because there's stuff like, hey, you need to order heating fuel.
Yes.
Or pay light bills. Or...
And like, I know this sounds silly, but like one thing that we even talk about, like every time, you know, I look at houses all the time still. Like I'm always debating, like, is this the house that we're in? Do we want to upgrade someday? You know, how big of a house do we really,
is
really want?
Is your marriage
want?
Okay?
Yes, it's totally fine. But like we're in a 2,400 square foot house. It's just the two of us and the dogs. We have family come. We have our nieces have a downstairs room in our house. But we always think to ourselves, like, is that a big enough house? Do we want to go? Like some of the houses we like are a little bit bigger. But then I'm thinking, I know this sounds silly, but we always say we have to heat that thing. We have to heat it. So what's it like to heat a 3,600 or a 4,000 square foot house that's a much higher bill. Electric goes up, heat goes up, everything goes up when you look at the things that you have to do. So when, you know, sometimes when you think about, oh my gosh, this seems fabulous. And again, I always say to people, like, water's a perfect example. We have our water tank filled. So when people are like, oh, how much water do you use? I say, it's only my husband and I and the dogs. So you're a family of five. So if you're talking about filling a 1,500-gallon tank, you probably need to think that that's a probably every 2 week. Or if you have babies, you know, I'm like, I do dishes probably every other day, like run a load because I wash dog bowls. I do those kinds of things.
Yeah,
we
me too.
Bathe normally. I bathe our, like at one point we had to bathe our dog every 3 days because he had to have little medicated baths. So I'm like,
oh my God.
I know. He's a special case. But if you have babies, you have to take all of the laundry, the bathing, all those things into consideration. So I'm like, you know, the best thing I can tell you is you might be going through an entire 1,500 gallons of water every 2 weeks. So all of a sudden, add those costs in.
No, that's a good point, Jamie. And Jamie and I will, before we even write an offer, we make sure that we've gone through the history of the utilities, and then you can adjust. Hey, I'm going to use less oil, more oil, same oil, less water, more water, same water, more electricity. You know, just so you know, debt to income, so DTI. So I mentioned 43% or less is what's common in the industry. For those that are new to debt to income, the example we're giving is if you make $5,000 a month before taxes, you've got $1,500 of debt. So car loan, student loans, credit cards, et cetera, your debt to income ratio is 30%.
Yeah.
So just that's how you calculate it. So keep that. You can do some math before you go too far.
Yeah.
You might think you're comfortable with the payment, but the lender might not be comfortable with the debt-to-income ratio.
Yep. So let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to talk more about should you buy a house in 2026?
Fine, Jamie. I'll be right back.
All right.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
And our friend Jamie.
Hello. All right. If you're just joining us, we are still talking about buying a house in 2026. And we are talking about the reality of it and thinking about your debt to ratio, really talking about whether or not you can afford the house. It's just really important for you to also look at your credit score. So I know that freaks people out to have your credit score run, but it really doesn't affect you. You don't need an 800 credit score anymore to buy a house. It typically starts at about 620. Some lenders go to 600. Some can work with scores as low as 580 with 3.5% down.
Yep, I've seen that.
Yep. So it really depends. I think 500 to 579 with 10% down. They ask for a little bit more down for just kind of depending on your credit score. So, you know, you may have to save up a little bit more. But again, like Kirk was saying earlier in the show, it's really about putting some quality time into putting that down payment together and saving up so that you're able to really invest in the home that you want to purchase versus a rental. So it's making sure that you really want to, you know, you may not be able to, I think we've said this in so many shows, you may not be able to get the home of your dreams, but you may be able to get the home that you can afford, put equity into it.
And speaking of affordability, so if you're going to use Zillow as your, hey, I can afford this house, at least Jamie's sitting on it right now. Your debt to income ratio, your credit risk, your credit score, your down payment, all those affect your interest rate, which affect your payment. And Zillow doesn't know all those things. So you need to get with a professional, be it us or a lender, and get that information to them so you can get an accurate estimate.
Yes. I think the other thing is everybody stresses about the down payment. And it is a stressful part because there's a lot to the down payment. So the old, you know, you need 20% down. Yes, that is what we love to always see is that you put 20% down on a house.
Yep. And as a Ramsey Pro, we'll preach that to our death. But it doesn't completely prohibit you from
buying a house.
Yeah, buying a house. Yeah.
Yes, we've seen everything. You know, it just depends on what loan type you get. But there are different fees associated with closing a house. So it's not just the down payment. It's also that you can be able to afford different closing costs, whatever that looks like. And we normally do a closing cost sheet with you that shows a bunch of, again, we try to do a little bit. I'll be honest. I always go high.
Yes, me too.
So I always round high. And I tell you that I'm rounding high because I want you to mentally be prepared for the number that I'm giving you.
Yep.
So when it...
I always try to be conservative too.
So that when it comes in lower, we are just thrilled that we've saved money. And so, or that if things, you know, if all of a sudden the appraisal, because again, the appraisals from different companies are all different prices. I've seen a $900 appraisal to an $1,800 appraisal. So I always like to go to the highest appraisal so that if it comes in really, really low from a lender that we're like, oh, that's fantastic. But then if different costs come in at different prices, we're not shocked by those.
Yeah. And then what we'll add in our own stuff, we'll add in, you know, heating, fuel, prepare you for that. I mean, if you're in a competing offer situation, you're not getting fuel to convey and they just put 1,000 gallons in at $4 a gallon, there's $4,000 you weren't expecting to bring to the closing table. So you just got to pay attention to that.
But then there's also ways that, you know, if you need a little bit of money toward closing costs, we can ask for that if the seller is willing to give some of that money.
I got some big ones the last couple of months, some big, like $10,000, $15,000.
Yes. And again,
concessions.
I will say I'd like to caution all of our listeners that that is going to end when we hit probably May, June, July. I feel like concessions get very, very small.
Yes.
But we get very lucky in December, January, and February, and sometimes even March.
And we've got a little window right now. I totally agree. And I'd say also if and when, and probably if you listen to last week's show, if and when Glenn Farren announces the final investment decision, then all bets will be off at some point once everybody catches on to what the boom is. If and when.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And again, I mean, that just changes.
I agree with you, Jamie.
Changes with the wind, changes by the seller to seller.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, we get so lucky, and you can be one of the lucky ones that when people aren't shopping and people want to sell for all, and again, if you listen to our past shows of why people want to sell in December, why people want to sell in the winter, you know, we do have serious sellers out there. So there's never a bad time to buy in Alaska. There just isn't. If you are looking, then look. If you're ready to buy, you're ready to buy. But we want to make sure that you have that down payment. And so we love for you to always pad your down payment. with all of the closing costs that are involved with that. And we like to go over that with you so that there's no hidden surprises. We like to go over the loan origination fee, the appraisal fee. We want you to be prepared for the home inspection, title insurance, title search if there's attorney fees, recording fees, prepaid property taxes and homeowners insurance, escrow account setup, also any other inspections. We've been talking a lot about different inspections that you may prefer if we have time for those. And again, there's different things that are really important. So, you know, earlier today, Kirk and I were talking about having your furnace inspected or boiler inspected. Those can be really, really important that you want to have that already just, yes, we can always ask the seller to do that, but always being prepared to just have that inspected, cleaned prior to you already moving in.
Yeah, you don't want to move in and find out that your boiler's a POS.
Yes.
And then have to go replace it.
Yes.
Before you can move in.
Yes, especially at insane temperatures. I always like to prepare my buyers for a septic inspection. That's always important because, again, we never want the septic to fail. And
that's in any market. Yes. It's SOP to have...
Yes.
Ask for it in the offer and have the seller have it meet the minimum standards.
Right.
Very rarely does, even in our hardest seller's market, does a seller not make sure that septic is performing or adding a new one in prior to closing. So, but some people forget to do it. Some new people forget to do it, and some people don't write it in offers. And
yes. And especially, though, if we're competing and if it's like the house that you've been looking at or if the house has finally hit the market, because I do have people reaching out to me about different houses that they're like, if this house ever comes up, I really, really want it. It's the house we've been looking at for a long time. So, again, we always want to be prepared. Even if it's the house of your dreams, you still want to make sure that the septic isn't going to fail. And on top of a big ticket price, you're all of a sudden now going to have a $15,000 or $20,000 septic bill. But again, sometimes there's just things, maybe you've had a really big issue with the fact that the roof looks like maybe it needs to be replaced. So we might want to have a roofer brought in and on top of the engineer inspection, we want to have that roof inspected. There's just certain things that
that's a big
really
ticket item too.
Yep. There's certain
$10,000 here, $10,000 there.
Yep. That can really hit hard when you're purchasing a house. So if there's things that you as a buyer feel like you really want to have somebody look at that specifically, we definitely, or if you have somebody that you're like, oh my gosh, I want them to inspect this specifically. I know I always pick out the windows when I'm going through. I'm always like, listen, you've brought up heat a lot. You say heat, heat, heat. And I'm like, just be aware, like these windows look like double panes, but I want you to understand none of these windows have been replaced in this house.
That's such a good point. And if you're going to do something like, hey, I'm going to remodel this kitchen or I'm going to tear this down and do this wall. I mean, that's a good time to get with the inspector and the engineer and maybe take a deeper dive. Back in the olden days, we used to tear into walls and when we use maybe Alaska Housing a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we used to do I can't remember what the word is, but intrusive inspection where we would take out a chunk of the wall, inspect the wiring, inspect the plumbing. And, we have to sheetrock and put it all back. But there could be hidden surprises behind in an older house that,
right.
I mean, I went through a flood and a fire, and the flood, especially when we started pulling down in the basement, started pulling out sheetrock. We're like, oh, this wiring is not as cool as new wiring. So we're like, oh, well, everything's exposed. Let's go ahead and rewire the downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's better to always prepare for the worst and that you're going to have to replace a lot of stuff. But every time I go through a house with a client, I'm always saying, listen, this is just something you want to think about is windows, and windows are not cheap anymore, or maybe they never were cheap. I don't know. But, that's a huge investment, especially when some of these houses have an insane amount of glass in them. So I'm always, when we walk into a house and the windows have been replaced, I say, oh, look it, they've done everything but these two rooms. So you're probably only looking at like $3,000 in window replacement versus $30,000 in window replacement. So just something to think about as far as closing costs.
Totally.
Thank you so much for joining us for the show today. If you just tuned in, we have been talking a lot about, can you actually buy a house in 2026? We're hopefully going to continue this show over the next probably think it's probably going to be two more shows, I think.
This topic. If you follow the show and you go into the archives, kfar.com, just go click the archives, go to Alaska Realty and today, and then you can see all of our past shows if you're... this will probably be a two-part series.
Yeah, I think because we really want to be honest about cost, and we really want our clients to be thinking about, I just really cannot stress, I think 2026 is going to be the year of the budget and making sure that you feel really comfortable. Again, it's something that we do with you. It's okay to wait. I've had clients that decided they were going to wait 2 years. I've had clients that decided they were going to wait a year. I've had clients that decided they were going to wait 3 years. It just depends on what, you know, what house you decide you want to buy. I've had clients that said, I'm going to do a townhouse, 3 years we sell it, then I want this, then I want this. So it's just really setting up your goals. But we appreciate you tuning in today. If you need to get a hold of us, 907-378-2400, and then just either ask for Kirk or I, and you'll get me, but I'll put you over to Kirk.
All right, guys, enjoy your Saturday. Stay warm as always, and stay tuned for Behind the Mission with United Way.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to kfar.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Last Frontier Media Active production.